All right, let's start in Jeremiah, 10th chapter, please. And about the 23rd verse, we'll read just one scripture right here, 10:23 of Jeremiah. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. All right, Psalms 37:23 said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, if you don't think that the 23rd verse of 10th chapter of Jeremiah is true, just look at the world. And if you want to look a little further, look around the camp. And if you want to look a little further, look at ourselves. Every one of us has missed it once in a while. We've not been perfect in being led by the Spirit of God. But the bottom line is that still the safest, most wonderful way for you and I to work our lives, so to speak, or go with our lives, is to allow the Lord to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, to work with us. And he said, I know that the way of man is not in himself. You and I do not have the understanding of depth wisdom to be able to lead ourselves by ourselves. We've got to have a higher power. We've got to have somebody that has a wisdom and a knowledge and an understanding and a power that's able to look through the annals of time. He's got an order for you and I. He's got a plan for you and I. And he wants to lead us and guide us and direct us. And the way that you're going to end up with at the end is heaven. But we got to allow him to lead us to do that. The Lord gave me the 37:23 of Psalms some months back in connection with a certain thing. And he just keeps, when I'm praying, he just keeps bringing that scripture to me over and over and over. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And then if that wasn't good enough, he had one brother get up in Myrtle and preach a message on order that when you get down to it, God has an order for all of us all the way through our lives. Yes, he does. Amen? Amen? He has that order. Now sometimes that order is pretty painful to you and I. And then sometimes it's perfect. Sometimes it's in between. But the bottom line is, he still has an order because he wants to take you and I and work with you and I and lead you and I and guide you and I. And he's got souls out there that is connected with you and I, and he wants you and I to help those people. Then he's also leading and guiding us whereby that we go through hard places and things that are working on us that's going to help us to be more like Christ. So he's got an order here to take us and lead us and to guide us. And you don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes you get up one day and the Lord will have things happen that will totally throw you off base. And what I mean by that, it will not be in the order that you thought it was going to be in. When I come home from Wichita, I told the Lord I wanted a day of rest. Now, pastors, and I don't know if you're like that or not. I think you and I have talked about this. Pastors like Mondays off. That's their day to rest and relax. They've been gearing up for about 4 or 5 days and really getting all the studying and the hours in and so forth to get a message all put together by the help of the Lord. And now then Monday, it's our day to relax. And I thought, Lord, even though I'm an evangelist, I want Monday to relax. And guess what? He didn't give me Monday to relax. He started dealing with me concerning you guys on the Monday after Wichita. And I thought, Lord, please, hear me. No, he just kept pouring it on. I said, all right, whatever your will is, that's what I want to do. That's where I want to go. That's what I want to be involved in. All right, Psalms 37:23. Like I said, quote that, what the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. All right, let's go to Romans 8:14. That'll be my text tonight.
this afternoon, Romans 8 and 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again into fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we may suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. For as many as are led, this is the safest, greatest thing for you and I to do right here, to be led by the Spirit of God. You're going to make mistakes. Might as well just put it up front. I ain't going to sugarcoat it. I've made several of them down through the years. I've made my blunder, fell flat out on my face and so forth. But the bottom line is you got to get back up and you got to keep going and say, Lord, I made a mistake, but help me not to make one next time. I want to do what you want me to do. I'm interested in the things that you want, Lord. This is your word. And so consequently, you can't just separate off what do you want to be led by and what you don't. Some people say, well, the one brother, a number of years ago in Myrtle, Missouri, we had a camp meeting out there, I believe it was, and we were all there and had young people's meeting. And he said, you know, he said, the young people want to know how to be led by the Spirit of God concerning their future companion. But he said the problem is they don't learn how to do it before they start praying for that and they make mistakes sometimes. So consequently, young people, you want to get your foundation first. You want to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God, because when it comes, and I'm going to be pretty strict on this, pretty tight on it, when it comes to being led by the Spirit of God for a future companion, that is the second most serious step that you'll ever make in your life, is to be married and to have that companion. Everything will rest on that. Your future salvation can rest on that. Your future blessings can rest on that. And the whole church, it can be affected by that. In 1975, I had gone to Hammond camp meeting. I was interested in getting married. I'm not going to sugarcoat it anyway. There was pretty young ladies down there, including my wife that I married later, several years later. And I come back from that, and I was thinking one morning as I was getting ready to go to work about these different girls. And the Lord walked up to me, and he had been dealing with me and calling me to preach the gospel. He'd worked with me for several months on this. And he walked up to me, and he stood right here beside me, and he spoke just like I'm talking to you. He said, if you're going to be a minister for me, you let me pick your companion. I've never heard of anybody else in the church saying God done them that way. But I got news for you, young people. I wish you'd talk to every one of you just like that. Make it so plain and so clear. It will put a fear in your heart and your mind. It'll put you in a position where you're not just wanting to run out there and jump off and get any young man or any young lady that is out there that's pretty and good looking and educated and so forth. It puts a fear of God in you, because when he done that, then he showed me what a wife could do for me and what she could not do for me. And one of them was she could help me make heaven. She could be a blessing, an encouragement, a strength. She'd stand by me. She'd help in the work of God and so forth. And the other one was, and then go all the way to heaven. And the other one was that I could end up in hell because the other one dragged me down. That put a fear in me. And I got news for you, over 42 years later, I still have the same fear. I'm not anxious to make a mistake. I want the Lord to lead me and guide me. I want every young person in the church of God to be led by the Spirit of God. Learn how to do it. And then say, Lord, what do you want in this area? There may be he wants you to stay single. It may be he would want you to marry. It may be whatever. But the bottom line is you cannot be serious enough and sober enough in this area of your life. Because if you'll follow this, the Lord can bless you and use you. You don't know where at this point maybe you're going to go. You don't know how serious your life is going to be. And what I mean by that is a calling. I've taught for several years that the wise thing to do is to know your calling before you ever marry. Woo! Because I've known ministers' wives that got they got the call after they was married, and there's some of them been down at the altar and saying, "Lord, have mercy, I did not marry a preacher, and I'm not interested in being married to one, but Lord, if you want me to do that, I will do it." Oh, today, how serious it is. It is a most serious, serious step in life. And it is serious today for you and I to learn to know how to be led by the Spirit of God. You can't pray too much. You can't fast too much. All right, he said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." All right, let's go to Luke 4:1. And let's nail a few other things down as we go along here. Luke 4:1. It said here that, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." So here our Savior, by the name of Jesus Christ, is being led by the Spirit of God. As I talked the other night and hammered on this point, His will was to do the will of the Father and to be so linked that He had everything perfect because He had such a short time to work in. Listen, folks, you and I need to be led by the Spirit because we don't know how much time we've got neither. We may be gone tomorrow. We may live 50 years, 60 years, whatever it may be. I don't know what your ages are. We may live a long time. But the bottom line is you cannot go wrong if you're led by the Spirit of God. All right, let's go to John, the 4th chapter. John 4:34. "And Jesus saith unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Folks, we've got a work to finish. We've got something to do. This is not a just you. This is God ordering our steps, leading us by His Spirit, and we've all got to work. Well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not this, I'm not that. But you still have an effect on souls. And there's people out there that you can touch at times and be a great sway to, a great encouragement to, a great help to. There was a sister that was very discouraged one time. And she had missed Sunday service. Her husband was an alcoholic. And she was crying and weeping on Monday morning. And the pastor of the congregation, which if I name some of you would know who he was, he come by to check on her, him and his wife. And he come by and he knocked on the door. And she was crying and red-eyed and so forth. So she ran to the bathroom and she washed her eyes out with cold water trying to get that all erased. And she went to the door and she opened the door. And he said, "We missed you at church yesterday. And said, I want to tell you, you're like a rock of Gibraltar in this congregation." That little message inspired her and fired her, and she kept going. And I, later years, I pastored her in the congregation of Guthrie. At that time, she was somewhere else. But later on, I pastored her, and she was a great blessing to all those around her. She liked to went down. She about didn't make it, but that pastor was led to go by and to see her and so forth. You say, "Well, I don't know what to say." He didn't say a whole lot, but I guarantee it got her attention and it helped her get going. Listen today, Lord, help us to be able to say the right things and do the right things that can lift a person, bless a person, encourage a person. And you do that by being led by the Spirit of God. You can write letters. You can send text messages. You can do all kinds of things. We have got a society that is open to all this. Social media, so to speak. And we've got places that we can do all kind of work to help people. But you and I need to be led by the Spirit on that. Lord, I want to help somebody today. Who can I help? Who can I help? There's another case where this was I don't know how old this sister I just talked about was. She couldn't have been too old. But that was a number of years before I pastored her. But anyway, there's another young sister, younger, had children. She was white, married, had children, and she was discouraged. And so minister's wife, well, the pastor's wife, she was in led to come by and visit her. She didn't know anything was wrong. She thought everything was fine.
And she come in, she sat down, they visited for a while, had prayer together, maybe read some of the word, and she went her way. And that's when she got back home, the sister she just visited her, she called her up and said, "You don't know what a blessing you was to me." Said, "I was pretty down." And said, "You give me a boost." We need to boost people, folks. We need to encourage people. We need to comfort people. We need to bless people. There was a brother down in Louisiana. He took it on himself when I was in the throes of grief that he decided he felt led to start sending me a text message. Now, he didn't say a whole lot. "I'm praying for you today. You've been brought to the throne of grace," or whatever. He would say something short and sweet, but I got news for you. I never will forget that. And I give him a big old hug every time I get to Louisiana to see him. I want to be with him. I want to say, "Thank you. You don't know how much of a blessing you was." Listen, folks, it don't take a PhD on some of this. It just takes being led by the Spirit of God. Jesus was led by the Spirit. And he said to them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Lord, help us to be interested in finishing the work. "Say not ye that there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. For he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth shall rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you are entered into their labors." Now, some people say, "Well, we're at the end of time. People are not getting saved much. Nothing's really happening." But he said right here, don't wait. Look up, see, and do. Go after it. Go after it. Go after those souls. You never can tell what you're reaching out to them can mean to them and help them along life's way. How that they can come. Some people say, "Well, I know." Just say, "Lord, who do you want me to go visit? The fields are white in the harvest." In other words, there's work out there. I believe there's still work to be done in the gospel. So Lord, help us to go out there. Jesus, he was going, he was doing, he was being led, he was laboring, he was preaching, teaching, he was encouraging, he was healing, he was blessing, and he didn't quit. All right, let's go to John 16:13. I mentioned these two scriptures, or one of them, the other night. It said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." In the 14th chapter of St. John, and the 26th verse, it said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." We've had three phases. The old was under God. Then you had the Christ dispensation. But then when Jesus Christ went back, he could not wait to send the Holy Ghost. Now there is scripture that backs that, that in a sense, there's one translation called it, said he was pent up. In other words, he was anxious for him to go back and for the Holy Ghost to come, because he's going to lead the truth, or lead the church, and work with souls and deal with souls, and he wanted him to have his time. We're in that time today. Listen, today we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We want him to work with us. He does it in all kinds of ways. It's not a cut and fast dried situation. Sometimes he will work through your heart and your mind, impressing you over and over. "I want you to go see that person. I want you to talk to them. I want you to write this letter. I want you to do this and do that." Other times, like I said, he spoke just as plain to me as he could. I heard it with this ear. He said, "If you're going to be a minister for me, you let me pick your companion." He also, as we're going to go in through here, we're going to see that he gives visions. He deals with people. He gives burdens. And a lot of times when a person is real heavily burdened for something, and they will, "Lord, is this what you want? Do you want me to go do this or go here, or go there, whatever might be the deal?" And he'll say, "Yes, I want you to do that." And you begin to move forth.
and go forth and do the burden that you have on your heart, whatever it might be. And there's been thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times those people that have done that have been such a great blessing to other people. I want to encourage you. You can be led by the Spirit of God and you can be a blessing to other people. Young people, you can be a blessing to other people. Older people, middle-aged people, young people. There was a child when I was in the throes of grief. There was a child, a little girl, not going to tell you who she was, but she sent me a card. And I want you to know I'm praying for you and I love you, Brother Carl, and so forth. I said, wow. I got another one later. I got two or three of them from the same little girl. Listen, folks, today, if a child can lead them, you can do it too. You're older, you're more educated, sell in place. But that little child listened to the mother and the father, no doubt, saying, let's pray for Brother Carl, he's in grief. And that little darling took it on her heart to get in there and to do more than just pray. She got in there and she sent me cards. One night the phone rang. I looked down at Brother So-and-so, her father. I thought, oh, I'm going to get to talk to Brother So-and-so. And when I got on the phone, he was there. But he said, my daughter wants to talk to you. She took it a step further. She called me. Now listen, folks, today we can do something. We can be led by the Spirit of God. We can be in there and help people and encourage people. Every congregation needs a person or persons, better not just say one, that will get in there and help them. Now I know you're a small congregation. I know that. I have pastored at one point the largest congregation at that time in the whole country. Didn't have no problem with having plenty of trustees and plenty of this and plenty of that. I had a bunch of them. I had, 12 preachers under me at one point. I believe it was teachers, preachers. And the Lord wants you and I to get in there and wants you and I to say, Lord, how can I help the pastor? What can I do to help the pastor? It's going to be work day. Instead of running one direction, you need to be there. You need to be there to help in that work day. In South Carolina one time, we had a work day. And it was also the first day of flounder fishing season. So, I'm thinking, who's going to show up? Two of us did. And the rest of them went a fishing. And then they got back and they didn't even get a bite. And so they asked me, said, I want to know something. Did you pray that we wouldn't catch a fish? I said, no, but I sure didn't pray the Lord to bless you neither. I didn't pray the Lord to pour it on. And they didn't get anything. They should have been there working. Listen, folks, today, I'm not against fishing. I'm not against hunting. I'm not against vacations and having some relaxing time. But I am for doing all we can do in God's vineyard and in God's work and helping the congregation out, because there's never enough people to help. Lord, help us. And we can do this by being led by the Spirit of God. There have been times, I'm a professional janitor for over 40 years now. I have gone into places and gone in and done cleaning. I was there to minister, but I done cleaning on top of that. One time Brother Edward Allen needed his windows cleaned in his house. I was there holding a revival. And he said, would you clean my windows for me? And Brother Edward Allen was blind. But he wanted clean windows. I cleaned them for him. He said, Brother Carl, I've never seen you any more anointed than I am right now. It touched him. I was willing to do it, see. Listen, folks, it'll touch the pastor, it'll touch the deacons, it'll touch the leaders of a congregation when people are willing to get in there and help and to do things. And I didn't know I was going to get into quite all of this, and I don't know why I'm doing it totally, but you need to pray. Oh, today, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be led, guided, directed by the Spirit of God, that we may be a blessing. And the Holy Spirit, He wants to lead us and guide us. He wants to stop us sometimes. In 1980, in the summer of 1980, I was praying about coming to the old chapel and holding a meeting. And I'd pray about it, and the Lord said, I don't want you to go. I prayed about it again and said, I don't want you to go. I prayed about it again and said, I don't want you to go. I thought, well, that's pretty clear. I won't go. And then I was talking to somebody in the congregation later, said it would not have worked at all for you to come right then. So I was right on my leading.
Listen, when you're praying and God is working and you begin to see how things are coming together, so to speak, that will help you to know that how He led you that particular way, that time of inspiring and working with the mind and working with the heart is a way, and you say, hey, I'm learning here. All right, let's go to Acts, the 8th chapter. Let's get into some old timers here. Some biblical old timers, so to speak. This is, I mentioned this the other night, but I want to reiterate it a little bit here. Because I just quoted part of it, didn't read it. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, if you read commentaries on this, they're going to bring out the point. It sounds like the Lord just spoke to him directly, like he did to me on a wife, and spoke to him and said, I want you to do this. They said that they were, well, said an angel. And they, the one particular commentator, maybe two of them, brought up the point. He said, I believe, because when you read on down in there, it talks about the Spirit speaking. So the Holy Ghost spoke to him. It wasn't just an angel particularly. Maybe it was. But the Lord was speaking to him. He got very specific under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. I want you to go just this way. If he'd gone any other way, he would have missed it. And he rose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit, now here it is, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now there's times that the Lord leads us, and maybe we don't totally know all about the leading. We've got to keep saying, Lord, I need more. Keep talking to me. Keep me going. And that's what he did. He got him in a general area, and then he said, I want you to go over there and join yourself to that chariot. Go over there and be right there. So he arose and went. Well, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Now, saints, if there's ever a time that the truth and the whole truth needs to be brought out, it's now. We've got a world that is in so much religious confusion and in such a religious mess that we need the Lord to lead us and guide us and to help us. And sometimes He may just totally direct you, burden you on a certain subject to study or whatever, and you get that all down, and then He'll lead you to go talk to somebody. That's who you can help right there. This man needed help. And who's this talking about? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now then, listen to what this says. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Again, the Lord led him there
And then at that point, he caught him up, so to speak, and he took him to his next work. You say, brother, I'm not a preacher. No, but if you're a saint, the Lord wants to use you. He wants to use you. He wants to lead you and guide you to different ones that you can be a help. Brother Michael Williamson worked for the one and only UPS. And he was unloading the truck one day, and next to him was another truck. And there was two men over there talking, and they were discussing the sin question. Sin, you must sin, you can't help it. And they wanted to know all about it. And somebody said something about, well, we could go ask him. Well, Brother Michael, he listened to what they were saying. He thought, but I'm not going to bother. The Lord just had him just wait. And so after a little bit, here they come. He said, well, we can go talk to Brother Michael, or Michael, what do they call him? Yeah, we can do that. So they went over there and entered in the back of that truck, and they began to ask him questions. And you know what the Lord, what Brother Michael told him? He said, the Bible says in so-and-so place in John, there's two places in 5 and 8, I believe it is, it said, go and sin no more. He didn't preach him a big message. Sometimes we think we've got to do something extraordinary. Like I said, folks, that brother in Louisiana sent me a very short text, but it blessed me. A little child sent me a card, and it blessed me. It doesn't take a PhD in religion, so to speak. It takes being led by the Spirit of God and knowing His Bible and being able to get in there and give them something that will help them, lead them, guide them. This wasn't any big deal. He went down there, he preached unto him Jesus, and worked with him. The man accepted it, he got saved, he got baptized, and then the Lord said, thank God. Listen, folks, we, Brother Larry, you and I preached in a lot of congregations. We never did get our whole congregation saved, did we? But this man got his whole congregation saved, folks. 100%. Got him saved. Praise God, hallelujah. That would, to me, would be very successful. Let's go to Acts the 9th chapter. And the 10th verse, Acts 9 and 10. Now, of course, above here, talking about Saul. And then now then, the Lord has talked to him and worked with him and sent him to a certain house on a certain street. And now then, the Lord comes along. And on the 10th verse, it said, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Now then he dealt with him this time in a vision. And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Ananias is just being honest with him. Anybody else in here would have done any different? I've heard all of this about him. He don't sound like anybody I want to get close to. I'm just not really interested in that. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Listen, folks, today, every one of us are chosen vessels to do what the Lord would have us to do. To go and bring out and to help people and so forth. We're a chosen vessel. Some more than others. Some preachers, some teachers, some pastors, some evangelists. Missionaries and so forth, but you all have a part. He's a chosen vessel. You say, yes, but that was Paul. Well, that was true, but you can have your part too. We're in 2017 now. This was a long time ago. Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, and I'll show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto me in the way as thou camest, hast sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there was from his eyes as it had been scales. He received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now then, let's go to Galatians 1, 1 and 10. This is a little bit more about Paul. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Christ Jesus. For ye had heard of my conversion in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up unto Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I returned into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith that once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Now then, right away, the Lord has taken Saul, and it doesn't really say here particularly maybe how this all happened, but the Lord spoke to him. He worked with him. He led him. He guided him. He took him out and put him in a personal place to reveal to the that was I taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. So he took him and he led him and guided him out there and he taught him. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, Paul says this, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul got... All right, the apostles had what? They walked with Christ. They seen him. They learned of him. He told them directly. Paul come later, and what did the Lord do to him? In a sense, he done the same way, in just a different way. He come in and took him and put him out there and worked with him. Revealed himself unto him. Taught him the word. Taught him everything he needed to know. Because he was a chosen vessel and he knew that he was going to allow him to go through some very hard things. So God took him out there. He prepared him and worked with him and taught him and took him all the way down to the end. And Paul was a great blessing to many souls then and still to us, to you and I today. But the Lord done that. He led him and guided him. And he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Listen, this wasn't me. This was God. This was the Spirit. This was the power of God. This was the work that God had called me to be. And so consequently, I'm preaching, I'm teaching, I'm giving these things out, and it's coming out to be a blessing to the Gentiles. Acts 10 and 19. Acts 10 and 19. Well, no, let's go 10 and 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour.
And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and of wild beasts, creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." So the Lord is beginning to open up to Peter that this thing is open to everybody. This is not just the Jews anymore. This is opened up. And these people get saved and so forth. They have the right to the Holy Ghost. They have a right to everything that I have available to them. And he was working with them and teaching him and enlightening him and so forth. And then it goes on down here in the 19th verse. And Peter thought on the vision, and Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee." Three men seek thee. "Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, "Behold, I am he whom thou seek. What is the cause whereof, wherefore you are come?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and good report of, among all the nations of the Jews, was warned of from God by the holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him." Again, the Lord is dealing and working, enlightening here, sending. He knew what Cornelius had prayed. Peter didn't. But he was taking and teaching Peter what Peter needed to know to help Cornelius. And then as he began to bring the whole picture together, the men come and sought him. There's going to be times that God will use man to help you. Before I pastored in Guthrie in 1987, Brother Leslie wrote me a letter. And in that letter, he let me know, "You're going to be the next pastor of the Guthrie congregation." And I promptly, along with the help of another little doll, wrote him back and told him, "There ain't no way. I've never pastored. I'm an evangelist, and I'm not interested in doing that, especially Guthrie. That's my home congregation." Well, Brother Leslie didn't roll over and die. He just proceeded to work with me gently and lovingly. And then the Lord come down and he began to deal with some old heads in the congregation. Before I got home, when I was sick in 87, Brother Curtis Williams brought me from Kentucky back. I'd been there 5 weeks. And he took me back to Oklahoma because he was going to hold meetings out there. And he got me out there and the Lord began to work. I didn't have any burden. I didn't have any leading or nothing. But the Lord began to talk to me after I got home and strong enough to do something. And he said, "I want you to go work with Guthrie." So I called Brother Leslie, my pastor, basically all my saved life. And I started talking to him and said, "Brother Carl, I already know the Lord showed me. That's why I wrote you that letter. There's going to be times that somebody could write you or call you and say, 'Hey, what about this? Let's go do this.' Now you'll need to pray about it. You'll need to fast about it maybe or whatever. But the bottom line, the Lord is working in more than just part one person. He's leading and guiding two or three. He done the very same thing with Brother Philip before he showed Brother Stanley. And Brother Philip was seeking to go somewhere and to work for God. And the Lord spoke and kept burdening him for Guthrie. And he kept going, Lord, we got a pastor." Well, then the Lord went to Brother Stanley. He done the very same thing with him they did with me. He got the former pastor in position. He come and talked to Philip, and Philip was stunned. But it wasn't very long before Brother Stanley died and went on out into eternity. And Philip became pastor of the Guthrie congregation just like I did. So he's going to use other people. It's wise for you and I to listen to our brother and our sisters. It's wise for you and I to pray when they say, what about going here? What about doing this? Don't just throw it out. I have done that one time. Brother Egbert called me. He said, Brother Carl, I want to go here and here and here. I was a driver and so forth. And I thought I had all this other things lined up over here. So I flat rejected him. And poor Brother Egbert, he finally got down to the point. He said, would you do me a favor? He said, well, did you at least pray about it? I mean, I'm pretty stern with him, or firm with him, not stern, but firm. I said, I don't have any leadings that way. He said, will you pray about it? And I did. Then all of this over here, the door started slamming, Brother Clinton, in my face. One right after another. And over here, the doors were opening, so to speak. So I prayed. And I called him up. And I said, all right. I said, the Lord is leading me just like he is you. But I said, I have one request. There is one place that I want to go. There's a soul there in trouble, and I want to go work with that soul if I can. If I can get them and talk to them and visit them. He said, that's fine. We were gone 60 days on that run. He said, ain't no preacher ever kept me away from my wife that long. And I said, well, surely Brother Duraste. He said, no, he didn't either. Being led by the Spirit of God. It works in all kinds of ways and direction. It's not cut and dried. The main thing is to be led. The main thing is to pray. The main thing is to look at the different scenarios in the situation and say, Lord, what is your will in this? I want to do your will. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to do what you want me to do. And Lord, whatever it is, I'm here. Then we make it where the Lord can work. All right, let's finish it up. Let's go to 16 and 6 of the good book of Acts. No, I want 16. Yeah. 16 and 3 of Acts. Him would Paul have to go with him and took and circumcised him because the Jews, which were in those quarters, for they all knew that it was his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained to the apostles and elders and were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone throughout Pergara and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And they were coming to Mysia. They essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now the Lord's going to lead you. He's going to stop you. He's got a way that he wants you to go. So consequently, he is going to do whatever it needs to be. So here he stopped him twice. But in the ninth verse, and a vision appeared unto Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he'd seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Well, right away they found a woman that was reaching out to God, and she was a great blessing to them. But then if you go down in the 16th verse of this chapter, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of deviation met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now the bottom line is this, folks. That woman and those people give Paul them a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. So consequently, if you look at it, you'd say, now wait a minute. But just because you're working for God and you run into some hard spots, that doesn't mean the Lord has not led you. That most generally means you're right on target. Brother Sammons held some meetings down in Ridgefield, South Carolina many years ago. And in this meeting, one night he was preaching, and over here to his right, he slowed down long enough to listen, and there was a man barking like a dog. Then another night, he got to looking at the windows, and he said he seen spirits looking in every window of that chapel. That got his attention. He said, "Wife, we got to fast and pray." They went to fasting and praying. The devil was trying to hinder. The devil was trying to stop it. The devil was doing everything he could do. But they went to fasting and praying. Here, Paul and them, they run into some hard spots. Did they fold up their tent and run and hide in the corner? No. They kept doing what God wanted them to do. He called them to go to Macedonia. He didn't want them in those other places. This is where the souls are that I want you to go work with. Well, Brother Mark, they fasted and they prayed, and the Lord come down and turned that thing loose. There was a number of people saved, a number of people baptized, and he said it was a glorious meeting, but it was a meeting that was contested. Listen, the devil's going to contest you on every turn sometime when you're working for God. So you've got to be prepared for that. Don't run and hide. Oh, don't be scared. Just keep plowing ahead because you're right on track. Because if you wouldn't, the devil wouldn't be interested in trying to stop you. So Lord, help us to be led by the Spirit of God. All right, let's close Psalms 31 and 3. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. I want to be led and guided, Lord. Now again, in the last several months, and I think I've said this before in this meeting, I felt like that the best thing for me to do is be like a limp washcloth that he can just take and do with me what he will. Lead me where he wants me to go. You know where I wanted to go in the month of September this year? I wanted to be in London, England. I wanted to do something, Brother Clint, I'd never done. I've been in all 50 states, Puerto Rico, and so forth, but I want in Canada and old Mexico, but I've never done international traveling. I wanted to do that. What did the Lord think about that? He led me everywhere but London. So I'm still following the Lord. If I get to London, all right. If I don't get to London, all right. I want to go. That's no deal. But the bottom line is just be open. Just be limp, so to speak. In other words, just be in a place where the Lord can say, go here, go there, and impress you and work with you. You get up and say, here I go, Lord. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to teach what you want me to teach. Pray for me. I appreciate your time, your attention. Appreciate everything you've done for me while I'm here. May the Lord bless this congregation. It is a quality congregation. If I was looking for somewhere to pastor and didn't have a pastor, this might be a place I'd look.